20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us today. In just a moment, I'm going to be joined by Carmen Vitale. So stick around for that. Always great catching up with Carmen. We're going to talk Packers, Vikings, Packers, Giants. Look ahead to the NFC North as well. Great conversation with her. Before we get there, I want to go over the injury update from Thursday. Savion Williams, Josh Jacobs, of course, the big one here being Josh Jacobs, both returned to practice on Thursday. A huge sign that Josh Jacobs may, in fact, be able to play. I kind of talked about it the other day. My expectation is that he's going to give it a go. We know how much this means to Josh Jacobs, how much he cares about it, how much he wants to be out there, and he will fight tooth and nail to get out there. If they let him play earlier with the calf injury that he had, I have a feeling they're going to let him with a knee contusion if he's good to go and that swelling gets down. The fact that he was already working out there in individual drills is a huge sign. I'm sure the big aspect of this is how his knee and his body is going to respond to it on Friday. Is there more swelling from it? Is there no issues? I think that's going to be the big, you know, kind of question mark as to Friday. We'll see if he practices on Friday, but a huge step for Josh Jacobs. And of course, again, Savion Williams returned to practice as well. Only three players remained out for Green Bay. Nate Hobbs, which I just expect to be out this week for sure. And then Carl Brooks and Quay Walker. I would assume if Brooks or Walker want any real chance to play, they're going to have to practice on Friday. It's not always the case, but that's usually a pretty key indicator. If Carl Brooks cannot go, they still have four defensive tackles. You're going to get a lot of Colby Wooden. You know, you're going to probably get an increase of Warren Brinson and Nasir Stackhouse, and of course, a lot of Devontae Wyatt as well. So Wyatt and Wooden still your starters, but Brinson and Stackhouse going to be called upon a lot more if Carl Brooks can't go in this game. Meanwhile, for Quay Walker, an interesting sort of shift there. Isaiah McDuffie becomes your Mike. He's the one calling the plays, getting everyone organized. He basically goes from a 8 to 15 snap player to playing almost every single snap, if not every single snap of the game. So that's a pretty big change for the linebacking group. And then Tyron Hopper would take over for Isaiah McDuffie. And again, that 8 to 15 snaps per game that McDuffie usually plays. So two injuries definitely worth keeping an eye on, especially on Friday. Quay Walker, Carl Brooks. I would say Walker tends to be the big one now. And then again, does Josh Jacobs continue to practice on Friday? Matt also mentioned that Brandon McManus got through Wednesday's practice good. He's going to kick again on Friday. Hopefully good news there, and McManus can return to action this week. All right, now let's get to the one, the only, Carmen Vitale. You know what time it is. We're being joined by Carmen Vitale. You can find her on social media at Carmi V, of course, Fox Sports Radio as well. Carmen, it's always wonderful talking to you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm not convinced we don't live in the upside down right now, but other than that, we're great.
I almost titled an episode like that very recently. I was actually thinking about it yesterday for my Justice Mosqueda episode of like everything just feels a little bit off. So we're very much on the same wavelength, and I am also very excited for Stranger Things coming up as well. The Packers have their own version of Stranger Things going on. They get a win against the Giants. They needed a win. That's a good thing. Yeah. But we still sort of saw the same brand of Packers football, frustrating, a little bit disappointing, just wanting a little bit more, you know, a lot of self-inflicted wounds and mistakes and errors. I'll just start with you, Carmen. What did you take away from this Packers win over the Giants?
Yeah, I think I hope after like the last couple of weeks when the Packers, you know, have lost, especially at home, that, you know, no one wants to take wins for granted no matter how they come, right? Even if it's against a team that's struggling like the Giants, a team that had a different quarterback than they did the last week. And but I mean, that doesn't change the fact of what we talked about going into this game, was that the Giants have a really good defensive front, and the defense in particular is not going to be, it's not a rollover unit. It's not a unit that you should take anything for granted against. So from that perspective, I mean, you still got the win, and you've technically forced multiple takeaways. Technically. One, yes. At the very end there, you snuck it in.
I didn't even put this together. It was the two last plays of the Packers defense, because they got the Evan Williams pick, and then yep. they have the Hail Mary at the end. So they literally didn't get turnovers the entire game until the two very last plays in the game for their defense.
Yeah. So, I mean, they got it in under the buzzer, and that's what we asked for, technically. So technically they did the things that we asked for, right? No, and I recognize that there are still, it's interesting because you look at kind of the Packers, like defensive rankings across the board, and they're relatively good when you're talking yards per game, rushing yards allowed per game, passing yards allowed per game. They are aggressively average. That's been like my thing with the Packers, I feel like, this season so far, is that they've been aggressively average, but they've been aggressively average on in the red zone, in teetering on like that bottom third of the league in their red zone defense, which I think is something that, you know, is kind of a red flag still. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to be really interesting coming into these next few games where you're going against the division. You have some opportunity to gain some ground when it comes to that. And it's going to be vitally important to doing so.
Yeah. The 2025 Green Bay Packers, aggressively average.
Aggressively
average. That's the tagline we're going with so far. Hopefully that's
so far.
Not the,
I was gonna say so far.
I was gonna say so far. Like hopefully still, that's not the end game for the Packers. Hopefully they can still put it together. But so far it does feel aggressively average is just about the right way to put it. I will say offensively, and you mentioned the Giants defense. For a game in which Jordan Love missed a small portion of the game, and then Josh Jacobs missed a much larger portion of the game, they're already down Tucker Kraft. They're already down Jaden Reed. You know, Savion Williams was on a snap count. Matthew Golden had, I think, only about 15 to 18 snaps in this game because he was banged up. For some of the injuries that they did have to deal with in this game, even Zach Tom left for a handful of snaps, I think, in this one. So the injuries that they did have to deal with to some pretty key players, the fact they were still able to put up 27 points in extremely windy conditions and keep everything still on track, not to mention they missed two extra points. Like there were still signs there, even if, again, it wasn't maybe quite where you wanted it to be.
No, and I mean, you look at like the run game in particular, which I was a little more impressed by because of the fact that they still averaged over 5 yards a carry, even with Josh Jacobs missing the amount of time that he did in this game. And so you're like, all right, if you can figure out ways to do that. And I mean, that was the right call too, with the weather conditions and just, you know, trying to mitigate and slow down that Giants defensive front. That was the right call. That was the right game plan to go in there with. And especially when you consider, too, all of the injuries to the different receivers. And, you know, you mentioned how Jordan Love went out for a little bit. Like, being able to still fall back on the run game and actually see it be efficient, that was a good sign. That was encouraging to me when you're talking about what to take away from this game and what perhaps you can continue with going forward.
No, I totally agree. That, speaking of those injuries, you know, how much of a factor do you think this is going to be for Green Bay? They do, you know, Josh Jacobs, we're recording this on Thursday early, you know, late Thursday morning. We did hear from Matt LaFleur, Josh Jacobs is going to practice in some capacity on Thursday, which is hopefully a good sign for him. But I would assume at best he's going to be on some sort of snap count and probably not be able to be quite as effective. At worst, he misses the game. We talked about Matthew Golden being beat up. We don't know if he's going to be able to play. Savion Williams has still been beat up. Again, they're not going to have Jaden Reed, no Tucker Kraft. This is an offense that's going to have to figure out a way to navigate these injuries for their, at least the foreseeable future, with this game coming up against Minnesota. And then right away, very quick turnaround on Thursday on Thanksgiving against the Detroit Lions.
Well, against the Lions. And then you get the Bears after that.
Yes. Yes.
That's why, you know, seeing that this could still be an efficient game. But I do think that so much of this is reminiscent of things that were kind of the breakdown point last year, where you had this kind of constant rotation of guys in and out because of injury, and it didn't allow you to really establish any sort of rhythm or rapport. And Jordan Love was throwing to different guys had different guys available every single week when he was available himself, and having him in and out of the lineup. And I think when you look back on last season, that was kind of the biggest thing that you pointed to in saying, why didn't the Packers reach their potential? Why did they have a relatively disappointing season, early round exit, all of that kind of stuff. And you point to just the lack of continuity, and that's kind of what you're seeing right now. But the thing is, I mean, you still have a lot of football left. And again, like I said, going against the division now, I mean, back to back to back is crazy, but like, you are going to have the opportunity to kind of right the ship a little bit, like very quickly, and be very efficient about getting back on top of this division, or at least in that contender spot, if you can start to figure out that rapport and who exactly you're going to have available, and maybe have these guys more like available for a more consistent amount of time. I mean, that, like, it's just the Packers have the talent, and we've talked about that all season, how this is a great team on paper. And the one thing that can, that is the great equalizer in the NFL that can derail these teams is injury. And there's a lot of credence to that. So it's going to, I think that the offensive line in particular is, I point to that as kind of being like the real question mark. That's the biggest question mark to me is, and that's kind of been the case all season, because there's been kind of a rotation, and right as you felt you were kind of figuring out where everyone was, then all of a sudden the injuries hit. So that's going to be the biggest thing, is getting that unit up to speed and making sure that they can kind of anchor this entire offense and protect Jordan Love and keep the run game efficient. And yeah.
We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never, ever, ever gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, it's time to start getting ready for Week 12 as Green Bay takes on Minnesota to try and get some momentum in the NFC North. This needs to be a big win for Green Bay, and I'm going with Micah Parsons to terrorize the Minnesota offense. Elsewhere in Week 12, I'm going with big games from Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall, and Drake May. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the power play. No matter how you play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY, Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Hey friends, I've got some great news for you. I've got part of your holiday shopping already taken care of. I am absolutely obsessed with my new Ridge wallet, and it's going to make an absolutely perfect holiday gift for just about everyone in your life. It's also a perfect gift suggestion for yourself as well. I'll be honest, I was just about done with wallets. I suffer from back pain, which doesn't help. Plus, they are clunky to carry around, and I just don't even like having a wallet with me. That was until I discovered Ridge. Ridge is known for their unique, slim, and modern wallets. And Ridge has been perfecting the wallet for 12 years, and their new Ridge 2.0 is 10% lighter. Plus, they have over 50 colors and styles to choose from, including every NFL, MLB, or college team. And I just know that that Packers one is already calling out to you. Now, Ridge is over 100,000 five-star reviews, and with their Ridge tracker card, you'll always know exactly where it is before panic mode kicks in. And right now, for a limited time, Ridge is having their huge holiday sale. Head to RIDGE.com to get 47% off your order. This is by far the biggest discount they've given all year. That's RIDGE.com, Ridge.com, for up to 47% off your order during their biggest sale of the year. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Packaday sent you.
We're in lockstep. I've talked about too. This team clearly has every right to make the playoffs and maybe even make some noise, but I just can't see a world in which they go on the, you know, 3-4 game win streak that they need to win a Super Bowl with this offensive line playing the way that they are. They're going to have to find a better brand of football. I did think there were some small signs in this game. I thought Zach Tom had one of his best games of the season. I thought Aaron Banks arguably had his best game of the season. Mm-hmm. So there were, again, a couple signs there, but they're going to have to really stack that success and continue to do it moving forward. And other guys like Jordan Morgan, Sean Ryan, Rashid Walker are going to need to continue to step up as well and hope for no more injuries with already missing Elton Jenkins along that offensive line for the season also. The other thing that can derail a season really quick are continued and consistent mistakes that you make on your own accord, not forced. Like, there's going to be forced mistakes. You know, a quarterback gets pressured and you throw a ball up and it gets picked off. All right. That's going to happen from time to time. You know, a dominant defensive lineman gets past you, so you have to reach out and hold them to try to make sure he doesn't murder your quarterback. That's going to happen from time to time. It's the pre-snap penalties, the drops that are unforced drops, the, you know, dropped interceptions that we saw in this game, missed extra points, special teams errors, things that have really plagued this Packers team for more than a year, if we're being honest. So right. I don't even know if I have a great question for you, Carmen, other than can they clean up these mistakes? Help us somehow. Can they find a way to clean this up?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a great answer for it, because again, this is what happens when you do have injuries and you do have a rotating cast of people around your quarterback who again, like he doesn't have the chance to build up the rapport, doesn't have the chance to have the continuity with these receivers and to really understand their just the little intricacies that go with the guys that, you know, like, oh, well, I know that so-and-so can take this route and he can get separation on this. And I know that, you know, I have to give him this kind of leverage on this throw in case that, like, Jordan doesn't have any of that because he just hasn't had the same guys available to him with enough reps to really understand each other in that way. So that's what worries me. That's what's concerning. I think it literally all comes back to injuries. And yeah, you're right. There are self-inflicted wounds, but the pre-snap penalties are coming because this offensive line combination doesn't know what, like doesn't know who they're lining up next to. And they don't know each other's tells and they don't know each other's mannerisms and who's going to pick up what and where, and that they're just not used to all playing together. And when you have all of that just kind of volatility, it's so hard to establish a rhythm and to be a really like on your P's and Q's team. I mean, it's just, it's really, it's unfortunate, but I think it's a domino effect of the injuries. And again, just having this rotating cast, especially offensively, where you're like, I mean, these guys they're getting reps in practice together, but they're not getting a ton of reps in real live situations before somebody goes down and there's another shift and there's another, you know, guy coming up. I mean, this depth is being tested, and for all things considered, like it actually is, it's a testament to Goody, like building the roster in the way that he did so that you can survive this kind of stuff. Because I think lesser teams with less depth would be in a whole world of trouble right now, more so than the Green Bay Packers are. But I don't know. I don't have any good answers for this other than they just need to figure out a way to stay healthy.
Yeah, I think the health of it. And then, like you said, some of the consistency and the continuity is huge. We talked about on the offensive line, certainly at receiver and some of those, you know, now tight end as well. I'm glad you brought up the route running because I think and just some of the stuff down the field, because I think it's gone a little bit under the radar. Mike Wall brought it up again this week. I've noted it on some of my grades videos as well. Some of the stuff that's happening down the field with the route running and attention to detail, you know, guys cutting their routes off at the right time. I talked about a play earlier this week where, you know, it's a deep intermediate short, and the deep and the intermediate are on top of each other, basically covering each other. And then you've got the short route that's colliding with the tight end who's supposed to be blocking on the play. So now your short route's counterfeit. Like you're seeing these things down the field where you're just like, this does not look cohesive. It does not look like what a NFL, especially Matt LaFleur driven offense is used to looking like. The other thing that you mentioned there is it maybe can't happen right now because of the injuries, but in a few weeks, if they start to get some of these players back, I need to kind of see Christian Watson full-time wide receiver on one side. We're starting to see a little bit more of that already. I need to see Jayden Reed full-time in the slot. I need to see, obviously, Josh Jacobs pretty much full-time in that backfield and start solidifying. Your offensive line has been solidified basically due to the Jenkins injury where now you don't have any rotating pieces, but you've got five offensive linemen now that are staying in their spot. Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Jayden Reed, Christian Watson. You're probably going to need to rotate the tight ends a little bit. I understand that Tucker Kraft is out. It's unfortunate. It sucks, but you're probably going to need to do that because you don't have that alpha there, or just go with Musgrave and hope for the best. And then that other wide receiver spot, that's where, again, do some Dobbs, do some Golden, do some Wicks. You can kind of maybe rotate those ones, you know, that one spot maybe a little bit more, but I kind of need to see your best guys out there. And I need to see a little bit more continuity and consistency because it does feel like this offense needs to all get on the same page and have an expectation of where everyone's going to be, what they're going to be doing. And right now it just feels like a hodgepodge of everyone's playing a little bit of everywhere, rotating in and out. You've got Malik Heath and Savion Williams and, you know, John Fitzpatrick and Josh Wiley, Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks. You've got all these guys and it just feels like there might be a little bit too much. And as the season goes along and hopefully players get healthy, they might need to start simplifying that a little bit.
Was it Josh Wiley that tweeted out, well, now I know what it feels like to play on concrete?
It was Warren Brinson, the defensive tackle. But
it was Brinson. That's right.
It was Brinson, okay, the defensive tackle. But yes. I'm sure a variety of players could have said it. Yes. Yes.
No, I mean, I think this to me just kind of, and I get it, it's hard to let go of the picture you had in your head of, I mean, in any aspect of life, you know, you make these plans and you think it's so good and it looks so good and it looks like it's going to work. And you have a hard time letting go when that doesn't actually work. And that's kind of how I view this Packers team. That's how I view kind of the way Matt LaFleur has been looking at this Packers team, where he's like, hey, we're supposed to be the team that like is giving you all these options. And so it's really hard to defend us and this, that, the other. And in theory, that's a great way to go about things, but it still requires your quarterback to have a lot of reps with all of those options. It doesn't work if those options are being rotated because of injury. It works if you're electively choosing to kind of do that. And when you don't have those established roles and you don't have those established relationships between the quarterback and his receivers, especially, that's where like, yeah, this kind of constant rotation of whatever, like that's doing you a disservice at this point. Like yes, it does make it hard to game plan because you never know who's going to be out there, you know, for opponents and that, this, that, the other. However, if your own team doesn't really know, like it doesn't have a feel for those play calls, doesn't have a feel for those routes. And you're right. I've seen it so many times just this season in general, where it's almost like you have these guys in those intermediate to deep areas of the field having to call that they're catching the ball because they're both in the same zone. And you're like, why is that happening? That's not stressing a defense. That's leaving Jordan Love vulnerable. That's leaving those receivers vulnerable. Yep. So that's kind of where it just seems to me that Matt LaFleur is just having a tough time letting go of what his initial plan for this offense was. And there needs to be more adjustment. And we've been saying that now for multiple weeks. And I'm totally with you where like, I want to see you have the horses now, especially like getting these guys back from injury or coming soon, like put them in those roles, let Jordan get comfortable with them in those roles. It still provides a bunch of options because yes. You're still like, all right, Christian Watson is down the field. You have Jaden Reed for that intermediate, even the short area out of the slot. You have like your tight end, like you have Luke Musgrave that can go in that short to intermediate area. You have Josh Jacobs in the backfield. That's all levels. And so if you have that, and then yeah, you can add a wild card in there with whoever, whether it's Romeo or whether it's Matthew or whoever else, like you can still have some variety in there. But you need to have some kind of staples to this offense. And that's not something that Green Bay's had so far this season.
And I get I think Green Bay would say, well, we want the depth and we want the competition and we want guys to play, et cetera. And we want to keep guys engaged. That's fine. You mentioned like the game plan stuff. When you put Christian Watson out of the game or Matthew Golden, in my opinion, out of the game, Josh Jacobs out of the game, you know, some things like that, Jaden Reed, et cetera. It's not like, oh my God, we didn't game plan for Malik Heath or game plan for Savion Williams. What are we going to do? It's like, oh, thank you for not having Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, right. Jaden Reed, Josh Jacobs in the game. We'll gladly take that. We don't care that we didn't spend the week preparing for Malik Heath. All apologies to Malik Heath. We'll be fine. So you're not.
That only works if the guy that you're bringing in is better than the guy you took
out. Yes. Or at least in a similar vein. Yeah. It's not been the case.
Again, no offense to Malik Heath, because I think he's a good player too. But
he's a good player. He has his role.
That's how it works everywhere else in the league. Is everywhere else you have the guys that you have to game plan for, and it's still hard if you have really good guys. And like I think that we're just too caught up with trying to have like this very multiple offense when it's confusing your own players at this point.
It feels like Matt wants like an offensive utopia of like, you get a little piece of the offense and you get a little piece of the offense. He's handing out offense like Oprah. He's like, you get this. And instead it just needs to be like,
I just had this thought, but I wonder if that is a sign or some sort of clue into the dynamic that happens that none of us really see, where like, maybe there are a bunch of guys that are really unhappy and they're trying to, you know, vie for more playing time, and Matt's trying to satisfy all of these, you know, options essentially, and get all these mouths fed. And I mean, like, we've seen it happen where like there's been times where guys have even gotten suspended because they weren't participating in the right way or whatever. Like, there's been kind of, I feel like, little bubbles of like stuff that's sort of like bubble to the surface of like, maybe these guys are like, and as any competitor would, I'm not even blaming them for that. Right. But at the end of the day, as the head coach, you can't make everyone happy. You have to do what's best for the team. And I don't know. That was just that thought just occurred to me where I was like, I don't know. maybe there are some things, kind of issues bubbling beneath the surface with guys buying for playing time and being unhappy.
Well, we're just over a year away from Romeo Doubs last year getting suspended for a game for conduct detrimental to the team after he was not happy with his role within the offense. Yeah. Malik Heath this week got left behind by a coach's decision for some disciplinary action that Matt did not expound upon, but I would have to assume probably targets related or not happy with his role in the offense would be the easy assumption to jump to. We don't know that for sure. Could have been.
I don't ever want to really assume correct. These things,
there could absolutely the be signs, some signs of that. No question. But yes, as Matt, you have to step up and say, sorry, this, and listen, Romeo now is in a contract year. He's an unrestricted free agent next year. Malik Heath, basically, he's a restricted free agent. I don't think Green Bay will tender him. It's going to be maybe a close decision, but especially maybe after this, I don't think they're going to tender him. So he basically becomes an unrestricted free agent as well. He's going to want to put his best foot forward, and he's not getting maybe the opportunity he feels he needs to do so. Like, that is going to cause some issues, and it's unfortunate. Like, they always define it as it's a good problem to have, of having like all these different mouths to feed. Maybe, but sometimes it can merge into
sometimes it's an actual problem.
Yes, that you have to
sometimes
manage.
It's just a problem.
Very much so. And I don't want to say for sure that Green Bay's there, but I do think there needs to be a little bit of a narrowing of the roles within this offense. So again, there can be a little bit more of that consistency. Let's talk some NFC. Actually, really quick, before we get to the NFC North, this Packers defense you kind of alluded to earlier, and maybe just again goes in the aggressively mediocre, aggressively average sort of category. I've talked about this week, but how do you define this Packers defense right now that's playing kind of a vanilla-ish brand of football? Their pass rush isn't quite getting home. They're limiting teams from a point production standpoint. By most metrics, they're a top 10 defense, but I think it also is just leaving you wanting a little bit more as well. We'll be right back. Anybody else feeling the financial squeeze right now? Everything just feels a little bit tougher, and I, for one, don't have the time to constantly monitor my finances and see where every little dollar and cent is being allocated. Thankfully, Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you can get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early, and so much more. I highly encourage that you take the time to learn more over at chime.com/packaday. Not only do we use Chime as a family, but I know multiple friends who use Chime and swear by it as well. The early payments, the free overdraft coverage, and access to over 47,000 free ATMs have not only been beneficial, but have come in huge in some really difficult situations. I didn't even mention the ability to get daily balance updates and real-time transaction alerts, which have helped shape our spending habits. So work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/packaday. That's chime.com/packaday. Chime feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Guys, it's 2025. The days of going to the doctor for emergencies are over. No more waiting until walking it off for 6 months doesn't work or your fingers are numb from texting, "I'm fine." It's time to take our health more seriously and get things checked out when we need to. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc makes it easier than ever by helping to find the right doctor quickly and easily. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, and are highly rated by verified patients. Appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking, and more often than not, you can even get same-day appointments. I've already had family members who have used ZocDoc and loved it, and I'll absolutely be utilizing it on all my appointments from here on out. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/packaday to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/packaday. Again, ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/packaday.
Yeah, it does, because you see a guy like Micah Parsons on that defensive front, you're like, okay, well, why aren't we getting the sacks? Because they're getting pressure. That's the other thing too, is like, this defensive front is getting pressure and they're just not getting home. And I think you do want to see a little bit more creativity when it comes to maybe just not just relying on the fact that you have Micah Parsons, maybe, you know, getting a little bit more exotic. I think they only blitz the Giants like 25% of the time. in this game. And it, I'm not saying like blitzes or, you know, blitz packages are a cure-all by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that they do present opportunities to get a little bit more creative when you're talking about a pass rush that can force some, you know, bad decisions by an opponent, which then can lead to more takeaways so that you're not up against the clock trying to give us what we want in multiple takeaways in the game. So you're right. By every major defensive metric, this is a top 10 defense, if not a top 5 defense. They're allowing just over 19 points a game. That's theoretically, that should, if you're allowing 19 points a game, you should be winning all of those games.
Yep.
But they are, as far as like sack percentage and like sack ratio and stuff like that, they're like bottom third or like creeping into bottom third of the league. And so it just kind of tells me that they're not there yet as a cohesive unit either. And that is a little bit more, I don't know, like there's not as much of a rotation, you know, like defensively when it comes to like injuries and stuff. So you think that people should be settled kind of more into their roles. And at this point, I mean, this is Jeff Hafley's second season. You got all the guys that have been here last year are comfortable in it. So start getting fun, start getting creative, start, you know, doing some fun, like interesting exotic things that, you know, maybe these teams haven't really seen on tape before. Or, you know, I think the best defensive coordinators are the ones that give you the same looks but do something different out of it all of the time. I think the coordinators in general, whether it's offensive or defensive, that's just, it's such a cheat code when it comes to, all right, like setting it, it requires you thinking 2 to 3 steps ahead, but that's what the good ones do. So I would like to see more of that.
I think Jeff's got to get more aggressive on first down to try to get some second and third and long situations. Right now you're seeing a pretty vanilla defense early on, and you're seeing teams run the ball or being able to pick up some easy pass plays to get in some second and third and short situations so that Jeff isn't able to get to a lot of those exotic looks that I think he has baked into his defense. And even too, when they've had some third and 12s, third and 15s, we've seen them more opt for 7 in coverage and trusting their 4-man rush to get there. Understandably, if that 4-man rush was sort of what we expected it to be, but outside of Micah, it really hasn't been. And then I think the onus there too, as most Packers, you know, pundits have been talking about all week, needing a little bit more from Devontae Wyatt and Rashawn Gary to up the pressure from that defensive group as well. All right, really quick before we get you out of here, Packers Vikings, what are you looking forward to in this one?
I keep wanting to believe in JJ McCarthy. And I don't really know why, because like wins to me aren't a quarterback stat. And that's kind of like the biggest argument for JJ McCarthy as a quarterback is like, well, he wins. And I'm like, well, he doesn't anymore. Yeah. And also that's only one player. So I'm very interested to see if they can, I mean, this is an offensive line in Minnesota that is still vulnerable when it comes to the guys that they have available, and it isn't what they thought it was going to be, but they have gotten some guys back, and it's still a work in progress essentially. But I think there's opportunity there to get to JJ, especially with, you know, the fact that he's kind of holding the ball and he doesn't, I still wonder if it's going to click. He seems to think it's going to click. He keeps talking about, I think, what did he compare himself to? A wine cork? Like a cork in a bottle that it like, just,
yes,
you know, it's like inching up, and then it's
a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. But I still think that there's an opportunity to get there. Jordan knows this defense so incredibly well already. And it's a tough defense to play against, because of all the things that Brian Flores throws at you. It's not vanilla whatsoever. It's very rarely vanilla. Very rarely are you getting the same thing game by game and, you know, them doing the same thing out of the same look and this, that, the other. I do think that they've left a little bit to be desired in the run game and against the run this year. And so I'm wondering if there's, again, opportunities there for the Packers to further establish an efficient ground game. But still figuring out how to be aggressive with the receivers they have available and trying to establish those roles and stuff like that. I think you've got an opportunity to do that against the Vikings right now. But it's a weird division. It's a weird team. I'm not going to be shocked if the Vikings end up playing well, because like, it just seems like they get to pull these games out from, especially against division opponents even. Yeah. It's happened before, and I feel like it can happen again.
You know, we haven't talked a ton this week, but Green Bay was brutal against the division last year. They obviously beat the Lions earlier this year and now have five games remaining against the division. So they're going to have the opportunity to make up for
like said, make up a lot of ground,
and make up for some of the issues in the division last year as well, starting with this week. Speaking of which, in the next basically week, as people are listening to this, from, you know, having the Lions of the Giants, that's not a big one, but you know, the Bears have a big game against the Steelers. The Packers have a big game against the Vikings. And then Thursday, Packers Lions on Thanksgiving, and Friday, the Bears have a massive matchup. Bears Eagles as well on Friday on Friday. Yes. The ally game. Weird, bizarro situation there. But yeah, we'll see how long that alliance lasts when they play each other on Black Friday. It's going to be a massively important next 7-8 days in the NFC North, and they could go in a variety of different directions. From, you know, arguably, if Minnesota gets two wins over the next week, them getting right back in the thick of things, to you know, Minnesota being completely out of it, Green Bay or Chicago or Detroit catapulting to the top, while you know, a couple others fall. Like this is a massive 7-8 days in the NFC North.
And no, the division could look completely different after this next week, which is wild to think. But I mean, that's kind of what we all anticipated, though, with this being as good of a division as it is, and having, you know, the question marks in this division were huge ones. And I think that it's been answered in Chicago that Ben Johnson is clearly the answer at head coach. Is Caleb Williams, though, the answer at quarterback? I'm not sold yet. And then you have Minnesota, also the quarterback being the biggest question mark. So with those gigantic question marks comes a lot of, again, volatility, and you can't really trust anything with this division. And that's what makes it so competitive. That's what makes it, you know, I kept saying, you know, it's not going to take 15 wins to win this division again. And I think that like, we're on track for that to be true, where like 12 wins could win this division. 11 wins perhaps could even win this division. And again, all of these teams are still technically capable of doing that. And especially when you consider, I think we'll have a better picture after this week. I think this week will kind of be the turning point of like, all right, then like things will be restored to the natural order. But if they're not, that's going to be a whole other story. That's going to be really fun to talk about.
Very much so. As we're recording this, Lions and Packers +140 to win the division, Bears +320, Vikings +6,500. So not a lot of faith in the Vikings. Bears, despite being in first, are the third most likely, and Packers and Lions tied for the best odds to win the division. Carmen, I cannot thank you enough. It is going to be a very interesting week. We'll likely talk in a couple weeks, with Thanksgiving being next week. So we'll have a lot to talk about when we talk next. And by the time we talk next, it could be a very different
division. I'm so excited to figure out what this division
Or it's going to get more chaotic. One of the two. We'll talk about it then. Where can we find all of your incredible work?
Yeah, just go on my socials, Carmi V on Blue Sky on Twitter, on Instagram. And then my show on Fox Sports Saturdays is Saturday from 3 to 5 Central on Fox Sports Radio, which you can find on the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss it.
My reads kicked in.
Yes, I love it. Find her at Carmi V. Follow her at Fox Sports Radio as well, especially on those Saturdays when she's on. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.